Hey, welcome to episode 2. And today I want to talk to you about proposals. So what I mean is, you know, those letters, or I guess you would call them communications of some sort, that you send to one particular individual or company whose work you would like to secure for your services. So typically this is going to be a higher end kind of a proposition. I've written, gosh, hundreds, probably thousands of proposals. For 20 years, I was a sales rep selling insulation to building contractors up and down the Front Range of Colorado. And that was what I did. I would talk to builders about their needs for insulation and put together proposals and then try to close them. And since having graduated from that business, gosh, almost 20 years ago, I've gone through different ways of thinking about proposals. And in my present business, which is primarily copywriting and marketing consulting, my mode of thinking about proposals was pretty well influenced by what I learned from Dan Kennedy. Dan is certainly one of the most influential mentors in my life, and he pretty much says, don't ever submit a proposal. His whole philosophy and his approach is totally against it. And so I've been following that approach. But lately, I've been beginning to think, and actually, I've had some very good success using proposals, just really completely going in, you know, a 180 and going in a completely opposite direction. And I'm going, of course, contrary to what Dan said, and offering people proposals. And it seems to go over really well, and it seems to be a really good means of communication without, I believe, the loss of status that Dan is concerned with. I think Dan's point of view is that a proposal is something that you would never get from someone in authority. So a certain, you know, brain surgeon or, you know, a highly paid attorney wouldn't offer to send you a proposal. They make recommendations. They prescribe. And so you would never send a proposal. So it's a reduction of status. But what I find is, whether that's the case or not, people welcome it. And it's meant thousands of dollars in business just over the past week or so. So a couple of tips on using proposals, if that's something that you decide to go with, or if you're already doing that, from what my experience is. Let me see how many I can think of here. I'm in the middle of writing a really in-depth proposal at this point, too. It's been a lot of work, I have to say. It's kind of like writing a sales letter, but just to one person, which seems a little bit counterproductive. So we'll see. This is a test I'm conducting. But anyway, so while that's all top of mind, I thought I'd offer you a couple of tips in case helpful. So number one is, just like any type of sales communication, focus on the pain points that that you're addressing, right? It's so tempting to get wrapped up in talking about your own company and who you are and all the wonderful features of your service or your product. And you just have to, like, put all that aside, you know, put it in a closet, stuff it in a closet and close the door, latch it closed and lock it. And focus on the pain points that the customer is thinking about and give them summary bits of information that help them understand how you're going to solve the problem for them. As another one of my coaches suggested, you got to really press on that bullet wound, make it hurt. Of course, the way you do that is you talk about the problem and you need to point things out in a very matter-of-fact, helpful way. That, look, you know, if it's, for instance, a website that has very slow loading times, which is actually an issue that a prospective client of mine has, then, you know, let them know, look, you know, your you're losing really valuable traffic because of the fact that that Google is not sending you traffic and leads because your website is so slow. And that's costing you every day that problem is there. And then, of course, later on in the proposal, you're going to talk about how you can fix that. You're not going to go into the weeds about it and all the details about how you're going to go to GT metrics and you're going to you're going to minify the images and all this other stuff. They don't need to hear that. They just need to hear that you've got a solution for them and that you have the confidence to take care of that problem for them. So there's one is press on the pain points. Another is take out any elements of friction. So at any point where, you know, when you're writing this proposal and you think about what it's like to be that prospect, where if they're going to have a question in advance, you want to see if you can answer that for them. Of course, you don't always have time to do that in a sales situation, but wherever you can, you want to address any objections before they really, you know, blossom. And so that would be another thing. And then finally, there's some technologies out there today that we didn't have, you know, even 5 years ago, that I'll recommend to you, some tools and resources that I use. Is one of them is called Better Proposals. And what I like about that software, it's a piece of software that enables you to format and send proposals. And it actually has a feature where, kind of like DocuSign, your prospect or your customer can sign the proposal, and it actually goes to the next step where they can pay for it and just, you know, do a whole transaction like that while you're on the Zoom call with them or whatever. I found that works extremely well. And the other resource that I'll recommend is Donald Miller and the Business Made Simple University course called Proposals Made Easy. So they teach, actually, Kulo Callahan is one of the associates there, and she teaches this course on how to write a proposal that's clear and compelling versus the way most people write proposals. So I think that would be a really good resource. I've found that to be extremely helpful. I've taken the course several times just to really, you know, try to let it sink into my DNA, and I'll probably go back to it again. So anyway, those are my thoughts. This was just going to be a really short podcast, but I apologize. It turned into kind of a long, rambling one. I hope you find this helpful. And this is episode 2 of what is turning out to be some kind of a podcast, and I'm not sure what. So I would love to hear your comments. Post them on the page here, download the podcast, whatever. Share it with friends, and tell me what you would like to hear on this, what direction you'd like for it to go, because right now it's an experiment. It's a little tiny bud coming out of the ground that hasn't yet determined which direction, you know, the sunlight is going to guide it to. So provide a little sunlight for us here. Let me know what you think would be a good direction. What would you like to hear from me and any guests that I might bring in? I think the topic will be about topics will be about financial freedom and really freedom on all levels, spiritual, location-wise, who you can associate with, what your lifestyle is like, what you can say and can't say, related, of course, to that, I think a big chunk of it is financial freedom. That unlocks a lot of doors right there, is how to be successful in business. That's probably one of the most reliable paths to financial freedom. So there you go. I hope you find this helpful. Let me know what you think, and we'll see you on episode 3.